Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Lizzie, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. And I was wondering, how did you first find Organize 365?
So I found it through a Facebook advertisement. I think I had been searching for an organizing, a paper organizing solution, actually for my husband, and it was advertised to me. And so then I found the Organize 365 website and started listening to your podcast and following Instagram and just kind of getting into the mindset of Organize 365.
Yay. So the advertising worked.
It did.
You never know, right? Like you never know how that's going to work.
And I think that you, in your podcast, you had mentioned that it was like more of a recent thing that y'all had done with the Facebook advertising. And I think that I looked back at my timeline of when I'd like purchased things. And so in July, 2020 is when I purchased the first Sunday basket. But I think that I probably had listened for at least a couple, maybe 3 months before I purchased anything.
Okay. Yeah. We started Facebook ads in February of 2020, which ended up being great timing because it was like right before the pandemic when all of you guys got put in timeout in your bedrooms.
Yes.
You're like, oh shoot, I'm at home now. I love the sign that the one woman held up like week two of lockdown. It was like in New York and she held up this sign and said, I don't care how long you leave me here. I'm not cleaning and organizing my house. But many people had other thoughts.
Yes. Well, it became even like more of a necessity. Mm-hmm. You know, I get anxiety, like I get anxious from visual clutter. And so when I came home, I'm a full-time work outside the home mom, but when the pandemic hit and I was at home for 2 or 3 months before I went back, I was very distracted by the clutter. I'm sitting right now in my kitchen office that I created as I've gotten into the 100-day program and everything, because my husband works out of our, you know, our home office, a bedroom that's set up as an office. And I never felt comfortable to go in there and work because he's, you know, got his papers on the desk and isn't as organized, and it kind of becomes the dumping ground, you know, the hot mess room. So I just couldn't go in there and work. I couldn't stay focused. And so I've just kind of set up my own space so that I can have my nice peace, you know, and feel in order when I need to be focused on work.
So when you came home in the pandemic, who was in your home with you?
Yes.
Who was quarantined with you?
So it was my husband and our two children. We have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. So it was the four of us. And then in August, we adopted a dog. And so now it's the four of us with our dog.
Okay. You know, that's crazy, right?
I do. But he's been a great addition to our family. We're happy to have him.
2 and 4. I mean, those are little people, like little people. They're a lot of work. Like,
they're a lot of physical. Yeah. It's a lot of physical demands.
Exhausting. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I say for people who have children under the age of 5, right?
Take a nap.
Yes. So do you do that?
I do as often as I can. Actually, you know, my kids sleep well through the night.
Okay.
I like to go to bed very early. Like usually I get them in bed and, you know, maybe not fully asleep. They might come back out of the room a couple of times, but by like 8:30, I'm already in my room winding down and going to sleep. So I like to be in bed early. I don't tend to need a nap, but I definitely will take them on the days that the calm
that you need to.
The calm is right.
Sleep makes everything better. Like it just makes everything better. Whenever you're sleep deprived or like you're really, really tired, like a nap solves like 90% of the problem. Mm-hmm. Or food. Food is the other thing. Not necessarily chocolate.
Combination.
But yeah, if you're hungry and you're starving and like you eat something, all of a sudden, like so much better. Everything's so much better if you're not hungry and you're not tired.
I have hanger. I don't know if you've heard this term, but it's a real thing in our home and my children get it too. So we always have snacks on hand, you know, when we're out and about for errands.
I don't know why we stop asking humans if they're tired, if they're hungry, or if they have to go to the bathroom. I mean, we ask little kids this. Why don't we ask adults? Like, wow, this is really going sideways. Does anybody need a bathroom break? Does anybody need a snack?
Or like a wiggle, break too, you know, like let's get some energy out. I like to do that too. Like in the morning or in the afternoon, I know you've been doing your walks, you know, when you have a chance. I like to do that. You know, I try to do like one walk in the morning and one walk in the afternoon, just like 10 minutes to break up. I have
every once in a while, we just have to have recess around here and I'll be like, okay, it's recess time. And we all stop working and we have recess. Like, it's amazing how much better you feel after like 10 minutes of laughing, talking, and walking. Like, it's so just fantastic. Why do we stop doing these things we do when we're in school?
We would have, I used to work in public accounting, and so that can become very stressful at certain times. We would have dance parties. There'd be moments where it's like, you know, me and my group of girls would be like, we're all stressed right now. It's time, you know, we're having a dance party break. And we would just like put on the music, close the door if we were feeling embarrassed, and just be able to dance our stress away.
Love it.
Yes.
All right. So it's the pandemic. Is that why you decided to get organized? Like you said, you were looking for your husband's paper. Like, so what started this whole train going?
Well, my husband and I have always joked that we're bad adults, you know, especially the paperwork. The paper was always just such a pain point for us. It was, you know, we totally were, I'm sure how so many people can relate, you know, you have a bag, like a shopping bag that you just like fill up with paper. Oh, I need to deal with that. And then you put that away and then you have another one. And then you're like, oh my gosh, all this paper that I just need to deal with. And so we had been trying to deal with it. And Alex, my husband, had dealt with a lot of the like buildup that we had, but we kept like, we'd get rid of it and then we accumulate again. And then we'd have to do a purge and again. And finally, I'm like, we need a solution that we're not adding to this anymore. You know, we're not keeping creating that paper clutter. And so, like I said, I was work out of the home and my husband is work from home. And so I didn't think that it was possible for me to be the one taking care of all the household paperwork because I'm outside of the home. And so I was trying to say, Alex, you need to be in charge of this. But he needed, you know, Alex is very good. If you give him like the to do, boom, 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 this is what I need to do, he can take that and run with it and do it. But he needed like a system. He needed something to use. So I was trying to find something for him. And then I got the Facebook advertisement and I started listening to everything. And I mean, it was like immediate, Lisa. I was like, Alex, I'm sending him all the podcasts. You have to listen to this. It's so great. And I mean, just, it totally was like a mindset shift. And I tried, I listened to your Sunday Basket, like the podcast about the Sunday Basket of like creating your own. So we tried doing that and it was kind of helping, but not really working. I was like, you know what? Let's just bite the bullet. Let's do it. Let's spend the money and get the system that's proven to work. And so I did that for Alex and it was kind of working for us, but he wasn't listening to the podcast as much as I was. He was, you know, like he wasn't drinking all the Kool-Aid that I'm drinking. And so, and then I was getting jealous of his, you know, like that he had the Sunday Basket and that was his.
He has the real Sunday Basket.
Yeah. And I couldn't touch it. And so then I bought myself the portable Sunday Basket because, you know, I was like, okay, I'll be able to take this to work with me. And I bought like all of the slash pockets and everything so that I kind of created my own to go Sunday Basket. And so then that's when I realized, you know, I started doing the Sunday Basket Club, the, you know, Facebook group.
Yes.
And I started really like buying into that routine of the Sunday Basket because I think that was his problem. He like just wasn't every Sunday sitting down and doing it. And so when I started doing that, I started realizing I actually can be in charge of the household paperwork, even though I do like work out of the house. And so now I have, you know, since then I've bought myself my own like at home Sunday Basket and I'll just choose like on Sundays when I'm planning on my week, I'll bring the to-do slash pocket and maybe my computer slash pocket, my on hold slash pocket. And those just kind of live in my portable one. And that's what I bring with me to and from work. You know, I'll put my wallet, my purse down in there and I love it. It keeps me, you know, so I have my plan. And the 100-day program and the 100-day planner, that's just, I feel like I see the snowball effect of all of the systems building on each other. And I'm just like so excited. I'm such a nerd about it. I'm like, I'm so excited about organization. So
let me ask you. So you mentioned that you would get the bag of paper and then you get another bag of paper, a paper that just needed to be dealt with. And then you finally realize that like these bags of paper are not going to stop accumulating. Prior to that, like prior to realizing this is like an ongoing thing, I have intonated that I think that, and this is what happened for me, but I think you're younger than me, so I think it would be even more relevant for your generation. Didn't you kind of buy into the fact there wasn't going to be this paper? Like, why did this paper keep accumulating? And then maybe if I just get rid of it, then it'll stop accumulating?
I think that it was, I didn't have any tools for being organized with my paper because I never needed to be. Now, I mentioned I worked in public accounting. That's when I came out of school. That was my job for 8 years until just recently I took a job at a university. But when I went into public accounting, the profession was already very paperless. And yes, so all of our work papers, our work was done on the computer. Yep. Now, that's not to say that I didn't have paper all over my desk, because of course there's certain things that you need to print out and do the work, you know, and have physical things. And so I could organize. And also there's already systems in place. So there's like a whole way that, okay, this is how we organize our tax work papers. This is how audit work papers are organized. This, you know, so there were systems that I just had to plug into and I could work those systems really well and be organized within those systems, but I didn't have to create them. And then I didn't need to maintain physical organization really. You know, that was something that my desk would accumulate as tax season would go on. It would get messier and messier. And then it would get to a point that I'm like, I have to clean this. And so then I would spend a morning organizing, clutter, like decluttering, delegating, you know, like, okay, these papers need to go to this, these people, you know? And so I would just kind of like have that cycle of accumulate, declutter, and have my like nice, peaceful, clean workspace. And so I do think that I never had those tools to deal with paper. And so I just like would hide it from myself because it was too much of like mental work that I couldn't work through. I couldn't figure it out. And like, we have a filing cabinet, but it has never been well organized, you know? So like getting rid of the filing cabinet, I never really had one that was organized. I never knew how to organize that. And so the binders, I'm not there yet. That's like my hope in the fall to be able to get in the all access and start working on my binders. But that's like the perfect solution for me. I'm like, oh, this is great. I love the way that you can organize the binders and pull them and take them with you. You know, it's the same thing with the slash pockets. It's so incredible how the shape of that holds your papers in there better than just the file folder. Yes. It just makes it so much more functional.
So interestingly, and what I love about this story is you're the one working outside of the house and Alex is the one working from home. And so we're trying to assign this paper to the person who is home the most.
Yes.
And when this podcast comes out, either shortly there before or after, you'll be hearing my July series where I'm going to talk about the four kinds of housework and how the tasks of daily living are tasks that are people specific, but tend to get assigned to the person who is home the most. Whether or not that's the person that should be doing it, it's because like you're there, so you should do this role. Right. And so you did it. For man. And I like saying that because so many times in all these podcast interviews, it's all women so far. And so we're like, we took it on, like, cause we're home and we did it all. So I love that you thought it should be assigned to the person who is at home. And now you've realized that it doesn't need to be, but I'm also wondering, was Alex looking for this solution as well? And does he like the solution as it is working? Like, does he understand it? Does he like it?
He likes the solution. Alex, I was the one actively looking for a solution.
Yes.
But Alex was very open to whatever solution that I could find. And so he has, Alex has not totally committed into the routine of the Sunday basket. He has gotten better. You know, he's improved incrementally. He does it more often. I use it. I drop his things in there. You know, sometimes if there's something I really want him to pay attention to, I'll remind him also that this is in your Sunday basket. But so he's using it. But I don't, I think that you say everyone consumes information or absorbs information in different ways.
Yes.
And I think that like kind of surrounding myself with the information that you provide, because it's more than just, it's so much more than just you know, having a physical place that your papers are organized. It's right. the way that your mind, it thinks about
yes.
not only the papers, but the projects, the to-dos, the dreams, you know, of, okay, I have all these dreams that we want to do for our home, but in what order do we want to do them? And
yes.
what makes most sense? And it, I don't have to have it figured out if we're going to, you know, do it in exactly this order over the next 5 or 10 years. That could change, you know, because circumstances change, but I still know that these are my dreams. And if I start collecting ideas about those dreams, I can just start a little slash pocket for it. And I'll be able to go find those ideas later.
Yeah. And in the study that we did, I honestly thought when we surveyed 1500 Americans, I thought what we would find, which is what was true for me in my generation, that women are taking on the majority of the housework and the cleaning and the mental load and all of that, which are shown in some of the other research that we have, and that men really aren't interested. And that is not what we found at all. Men were more interested than women in the millennial men by a few percentage points were more interested than women specifically in finding an answer to the paper clutter and paper organization.
Wow. Wow. Yep.
They want to be able to find a paper when they want it. They want to be able to find things. Women want things to have a place. Men want to be able to find stuff. Now, my husband can look in the refrigerator and be staring straight at the thing and not find it. So I'm not saying that's not a thing. But when it comes to paper specifically, men are looking for a solution where they can go to the binder, find the paper, put it back, move on. Like my son, we were applying for him to get an apartment and he needed to have a social security card. And he said, "Where is my binder?" I said, "It's downstairs." He went, he got the binder. He came upstairs. He goes, "This is the important slash pocket. It's not in the important slash pocket." I said, "Look behind the important slash pocket," because it was in a binder. Right behind it in the, you know, sheet protector. He goes, "Okay," pulled it out, handed it to me. He didn't even know he had a social security card a month ago. But once we made that launch binder, he was like, "All my stuff is in this binder. Must find binder, find paper, get apartment, move out before baby comes."
I love it. I love it. That's, I mean, like I said, my kids are 4 and 2, but I totally know that in 15 years, mm-hmm. whatever, 14 mm-hmm. years, we're doing launch binders. Because that's so, I think that, you know, that's one thing that, you know, as Alex and I joke, we were bad adults, but this skill was not something training. That we were taught. And so you're like a fish out of water becoming an adult and trying to figure it out.
Yes.
And I think that like when it was just Alex and I, we could kind of manage on our own in our like fish out of water way. But then once you have kids and you're like just life, the speed of life is more faster than you can keep up with.
You're more tired.
Yeah. And there's a lot more going on. There's a lot more to coordinate.
Yeah.
We were craving that a system. And for me, the fact that this is a proven system that I just drop right into my life and I can plug it in and see the improvements right away. You know, I got the Sunday basket and I love that. And then I did the 100-day program. I think this is the order I did it in. I have to read. Oh, no, I did my, then I did my 100-day program and then I've done the workbox and, I did planning day in,
so fun.
In March. In May was the planning day.
Which one? Did you do business or home planning?
Home. And now I've signed up for the business one.
Okay. So what'd you get out of the home one? Because I already know the business one works.
Yeah.
But people don't think to plan a whole day for their home each trimester. That's not normal.
Right. I think that for me, it was, it zoned in because I did, you know, with the planner that came with the 100-day program. Mm-hmm. I did that one on my own. I watched the planning videos. I used it pretty well, but I think that having the planning day and sitting down and thinking about, okay, these next 4 months, all you have to think about is this summer and zoning it like, okay, brain dump everything that's on your mind, but now figure out of all those things in your mind, what do you want to prioritize and what can reasonably get done within these months? And then the plan neglect, that's another concept that just has like been such an improvement on my life because there's a way to plan the neglect. Okay. I see this needs to be done. I put it in my Sunday basket. It's going to be there to get done. I don't have to think about it anymore. I can focus on what I want to focus on, what I'm choosing to focus on at this time. And I think that just helps me to see the progress and feel it, you know, I can reflect on what I have done and accomplished while knowing, okay, the kids' closet is still, you know, a sore spot for me. And we're going to get there. It's going to be fine. And so for right now, I just go in there as little as possible. I just use their dresser and it's fine, you know? And I focus on the areas that we did have the most improvement, which are the areas where we spend our most time and can feel at peace with those. And, you know, can feel like I don't need to be spending my hours on the weekend cleaning up that closet that bothers me, because I would rather be spending those hours hanging out with my kids and doing fun summer things. And then we'll get to their closet, you know, when the energy is right for it.
And the planned neglect, I mean, it's important for every age group, but I'm going to mention again, your children are 2 and 4. So you have these ideas, especially as a new mom. I'm going to get all these things done. I'm going to be this kind of a mom. I'm going to do, first of all, they're not going to remember pretty much anything that happens under the age of 5, probably under the age of 7 or 8. Like, it's important. It's extremely important that you read to them and you do all the things for their development, but they aren't actually going to remember that you went to the pool that summer or whatever. Like, they're really doing it for you at this point. And then the closet, I just want to specifically speak to this with you. So you have a girl and a boy. I don't know if you plan on having more children. If you do, then you'd probably be saving clothes. But I have a girl and a boy, and we didn't end up having more children. So the thing with a girl and a boy is, once they're out of the clothes, like, if you're not going to plan on having another baby, you can just start donating. Like, you don't have to keep any of the smaller sizes, but you're always getting bigger sizes when they're on sale, when you get them as gifts, you know, somebody might hand them down to you. And so their closets, I don't want you to think about them as their closets. I want you to think about their closets as mini storage rooms and their dresser as their closet. And so when you're done with laundry, if everything in their dresser fits, like, I don't know, you have a headache and you've worked extra the last 2 nights and you're exhausted and you open up a drawer and you go to put that on your child, it is going to fit them. Don't put anything in the dresser that's too big or too small, so that anybody who is helping you and getting your child dressed can get dressed out of the dresser. And then every 3 to 4 months, you're going to have to go to the storage room, move things out of the storage room into the dresser and out of the dresser, out of the dresser, because they've outgrown. Like, if they doesn't fit them, immediately drop it clean, dirty, I don't care, into the not going into the laundry area. Like, you could do a load of laundry and send to the donation, because it's not a closet. It's a storage room.
Lisa, these are the mindset shifts that, like, I don't, you just watched what my, this is what I go through. I'm listening to your podcast and you say things like this to me. And I'm like, that just makes so much sense. And it makes it so much easier on your own, you know, like on your own self. You're just simplifying things for you, because you're so right. I have clothes in their closet that are too big for them. I have clothes in their closet that are just the wrong season, that maybe, you know, we had them jackets from this winter and maybe next winter they could still fit those, so we need to keep them. And so giving myself permission to just say that closet is not,
it's a storage room.
It's out of, I just need to get the shoes out
different
of there.
Different size
their
diapers, all of it.
Yes.
Swim diapers at the end of the season, put them in there so that maybe the other one could, all that should not be in the dresser. So I just did this with Abby. Abby's baby isn't even born yet, but we did this with, she has a little tiny nursery. It's like a closet. It fits a bed, it fits a crib, and it fits a changing table barely, but that's what's in there. Well, she's been buying, I've told her she has to use her money on things that are practical. So she's buying baby diapers. And so she has newborn. Her baby's already measuring too big. I'm like, don't buy any more of those. She bought size one. I'm like, don't buy any more of those.
Twos.
So she's buying twos and threes. And then she's gotten, and she's buying some baby clothes. And they were all in this little tiny closet, basically, which is the nursery. So we cleaned out another big closet, which isn't like a walk-in closet. It's like a cabinet. And I took post-it notes, and on it has all these shelves. And I was like, okay, this is 3 to 6 months, 6 to 9 months, 9 to 12. And we went through all of her clothes and we put them in these piles. I said, we'll get bins for these shelves. And then my mother-in-law, who is not going to end up going to a baby shower, Abby's just having a couple baby showers. So she just keeps, every time she comes over, she brings Abby gifts. So she bought her car seat stroller already, which is great.
Yes.
And then she also, last week she came over and she brought over a bag of clothes, because actually all the grandmas love to shop, but my mother-in-law, like, that's her form of entertainment, is she goes to stores. So she bought all these clothes, and Abby looks right at me and she said, are those post-it notes still on those shelves downstairs? I said, yes. She said, okay. She went downstairs and sorted the clothes by size and put them there, so that the only clothes that are in the little closet nursery thing are newborn 0 to 3, and everything else is in here. And she's already storing them for the future. But
that's,
I don't,
so awesome.
And this is just the way I think. I don't think about these things like normally.
But it's such a, like, I'm thinking about for Abby, like, that is such a blessing for her, because those first few months are like, you're just getting by, everything's crazy. You don't have time to think about things like that. And so having thought about it in advance, and when it's time to move into the next size, you know, you put those into the tub, or even we don't know if we're gonna have more children, but I got tired of the amount of clothes, the kids' clothes I was wearing. And I just, I have like one tub of like the special stuff and everything else is gone. And if we have another kid, then, you know, that the third child probably would be in, be just mostly in diapers.
And also, you're going to have fun buying their little baby stuff.
Yeah, you're going to buy them. Yeah, you always buy new stuff for the new baby. So that's what my thought was, you know, and everyone loves to buy baby clothes. Mm-hmm. So those are the gifts that you're getting too. So that's why we had such an overabundance of children clothing as well, is because that's the gifts and the hand-me-downs and
there's just so much. Yeah, but now if you just think about those two closets as two little tiny mini storage rooms, and honestly, for my kids, that's where their school artwork ended up. Like, they were storage rooms. Like, in the top was all their artwork that I was saving, their baby cards, their baby shoes. Like, until they were like 12 or 13, I actually moved that stuff into the storage room. The storage room was for holiday decorations, household stuff, furniture, like my stuff. Everything for their little lives fit in their bedroom and their closet, and the closet was their storage room.
I love this. I love this idea. I'll let you know. We'll see. You know, this is planned neglect right now, their closets. So we'll see we'll see. But I'm definitely going to be implementing this, because that's what I have, their stuff. You know, I'm thinking about their school stuff is over in the office, this and that, but to have it all in one place, that just makes so much sense.
Yes. All in one place. And then you could put in literally a bookshelf in there and bins. Like, it doesn't have to be hanging up because it's not a closet.
Oh, I love this.
My goodness. Okay. So when was the first time that you noticed something was organized that was not organized before?
So I definitely would say that where I noticed the most is the kitchen. Because that's the hub of the house. And so that's where clutter would just accumulate so much. And so setting up the zones and removing the rarely used items from high traffic space, those were two big game changers for our kitchen space. And then where I really see it is, of course, the clutter still accumulates on the counters. But how quickly the clutter can disappear, you know, how very quickly we can reset the kitchen back to a nice clean countertop, you know, that makes my brain feel happy, good, not stressed. It happens so quickly now. And I think that the kitchen is the area where I really see it, because that's, you know, the area where our family spends so much time in our home.
Yeah, especially with little kids.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another area, just like their closet and their dresser that, I mean, just like all of a sudden they'll be like, they eat bananas like crazy, and then they're like, they won't eat another banana, or they go from rice cereal, and now they don't want rice cereal anymore. They're into whatever the new, I don't even know the new things anymore. I'm like 20-year-old knowledge when it comes to baby food. I'll be up to speed soon.
Yes,
but right now I'm not. Like, they're the little pouchy things, right? Oh my gosh, those things are expensive.
They are. They are.
Can we still buy the kind with the spoon and try to aeroplane it into their mouths?
Yes. Yes. That's, and that's great. Actually, the pouchy is good to do the spoons, because the pouchy things are great and convenient, but you want them to learn how to eat on the spoon.
All right. I'll be the person in charge of the spoon.
Yeah.
Abby can do the pouchy.
So, and that's the other thing about the kitchen, is that it serves so many functions. Yeah. And so, like, not only zoning off, okay, like the prep area, I will tell you, my husband, he does all the cooking for our family. And so setting up, it's so wonderful. That prep zone that we set for him, you know, like, it used to be where our dishes were up there, because it was a good, you know, and it was a fine space for all of our dishes to be, but kind of rearranging and setting it up so he had all of his measuring cups and everything. So it's like right above where the garbage can
is.
Wait
a minute.
Works.
You move the dishes. Oh my gosh. I'm moving my dishes. I never thought of, oh my gosh, that would make so much more sense. I've never moved my dishes cabinet.
Yeah. Well, you use that countertop for like your prepping?
Yes. And it is a nightmare, because like, we have a lot of counters, but we don't have a lot of floor space. So when you are standing there cooking in front of the stove, like, you can touch everything. That's where the trash can is, the stove, the silverware drawer. Oh my gosh. I think I'm going to move the silverware to the other side.
This is so
my
exciting.
My husband is going to be so excited because so when we make Sunday dinner, which is like the one time in the world where we're ever in the kitchen together, like we're bumping into each other the entire time. So I'm like, well, I can't get the plates anywhere else. Can't get the silverware. Oh my gosh, I'm going to move it. He's going to love it. This is like the best Wednesday podcast ever. You now have little storage rooms. I'm going to have a different place for dishes. Yes. Why do I even have dishes over there? You know why? Because it's to the right of the sink.
Right.
But it's just as close to the dishwasher as the other cabinet is.
Yes.
But if we had like all the pastas and stuff right next to the stove, that would make so much more sense.
Yes.
I'm doing this.
It's great. I'm
doing this weekend.
Oh, I'm so excited. You have to put it on your Instagram story. So I can
see how this Wednesday podcast into the 100-day program.
Yay!
So many 100-day program ideas.
Ideas,
but see,
right?
It's stuff like that. Like, why don't we think of these things? Why don't we think of putting all the breakfast foods together? Like all the breakfast foods should be together and lunch packing foods all in one place. You do all that at one time. Dinner is a completely different event. Different foods, different event.
Yes. Those little mindset shifts.
Yes.
Where you just rethink, because our kitchen was relatively organized before, you know, or like things were in places that made pretty good sense, but really thinking on the, like on the bigger picture of the kitchen as a whole, what are all the functions that it serves, and putting that planning day, you know, that day one where you're just planning your zones. I feel like that is such an important step that, you know, your traditional like decluttering or organizing wouldn't give you, you know,
because it's a whole day that people feel is wasted. What do you mean? What do you mean? I just paid for this expensive program and you want me to take a day to sit down with a legal pad? I had that before I started, Lisa. Like,
you didn't have that mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Hey, you've totally made me think about my kitchen differently now.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's really
great.
Cool.
You should follow on Instagram this weekend, which will be way past when you guys are listening to this podcast episode, but that's hilarious. Yes. All right. So what has happened since you started on this journey of organizing, which really has only been like a little over a year, that you did not expect to happen?
Well, so I think that it all boils down to my mindset. And I know that I've mentioned that, but I think that's really the biggest transformation. And before this program or my whole life, I've been a perfectionist. And I started thinking about this. It was, I think maybe it was after your podcast about excellence over instead of perfection. Mm-hmm. And it really like just clicked. So I think I was already operating in that way, but it put words to it because I've always considered myself a perfectionist, you know, and there's been plenty of times in my life where I know that my perfectionism is not really the cost of being a perfectionist is not worth the benefit of, you know, that email having exact perfect punctuation, you know? And so, having that shift in my mindset around my home and my schedule and my goal setting has been just such a big transformation that I never would have thought of as I was trying to get like, you know, myself organized.
Well, you're in, you know, the financial field, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of important you're a perfectionist. My cousin is an accountant. And she was doing some kind of a volunteer thing. And she had to like spend all this money. It was thousands of dollars for whatever this, they'd raised all this money. And then she had to spend all this money. It had to be a certain amount for each child and everything. She had all the receipts and she was off by like, I don't know, 11 cents. I'm like, you're good. It's close enough. She's like, no. Like I have to take this to a board and a thing. And we have to find the 11 cents. And it was like hours and hours and hours. And I'm just like playing with the baby clothes and sorting them and wrapping them and whatever. She's like, it's very important. I find this 11 cents. I mean, when you're in the financial accounting industry, like you're regulated, you have to be a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. You can't just do Lisa math. It's not a thing.
But you know, what I would say, Lisa, in that circumstance to your cousin is that 11 cents is immaterial and you don't need to worry about it. You know, like, so you can be, you know, more of a woman of excellence than perfection.
But there, I mean, like you don't want your surgeon to be like, maybe not. I can't find the extra sponge, but I'm sure it's fine. Like, so it's not like there aren't things where we truly have to, like, there is a reason for perfection, like rocket science. You want to be perfect.
Absolutely.
In your house, though, it just causes unneeded stress and chaos.
You'll never have it.
Right.
You'll never have it. And your brain will never be at peace if you're constantly seeking it. And I think that, and that's like, part of it is embracing, you know, I started on the 100-day program and I was one of the many people was like, I'm going to do all 100 days. Lisa yes. says I can't do it. Well, Lisa was exactly right. And it was like right around day 50 that I fell off the wagon. But
oh my gosh, you got to day 50?
I did. I got to day 50. I think that that's how far I made it. And then I did a few of the other days speckled in, but I didn't stick to it. And now this round going through, I'm working in the kitchen, but there was areas in the kitchen that I didn't touch last time. Like my, we have a bar area and then we have buffet cabinets in the dining room that also have, you know, serving dishes and stuff like that. None of that had gotten touched. So I made Alex after the kids went to bed the other night. We stayed up until like 10 o'clock, which as you know, is very late for me. And so we stayed up so late to organize those three areas all at once. And it was so incredible to go through those areas that hadn't been touched after mm-hmm. having gone through some of the areas in the kitchens that were touched last round and yeah. seeing such a huge difference in how much we had that we could purge that, you know, you just recognize we don't need this in our home. We can give this to Goodwill. And the thought process of how things are organized and making yeah. it make sense so that they're easy to reach and get where you need them when you need them. And it was just really cool for me to see that area, you know, to do it back to back with areas that we had done before yes. or had done in the first round versus ones in the second round and seeing, wow, I really did make a lot of progress that first
yes.
round.
Yes. Yes. Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
So awesome.
Thank you. Oh, I'm so excited about it.
So unexpected events. Clearly, you found me during the pandemic.
Yes, the pandemic, yes.
did that impact your organizational journey at all?
I think for sure it did. I think that spending all that time in the house made me realize how much I wanted to make our home a place of peace for me. You know, not a place where I felt like, oh, I need to do this or that. And, yeah. and you know, just feeling like the... not regret or guilt, but just feeling that weight of, oh, why haven't I gotten this organized or cleaned up or whatever. And so now having, you know, snowballed with all of your systems and programs, just feeling like I do have control over this. And I'm happy to welcome people in our home. You know, I'm welcome to just come on in my front door. I'm not planning to have a guest. And you know, if there's plates on the counter because the kids had lunch, okay, there's plates on the counter, but I'm still proud yeah. about the home that people are stepping into. Even if there is a little bit of mess that will get tidied up, you know, when we do a reset at the end of the day, yeah. I'm not worried about that. Everyone's homes has mess in it, you know, because you're living in it.
So what do you think you have more of now?
I think that it would be the confidence in my home and confidence of just being able to invite guests over on a whim and not feeling like, oh, let me check and see, am I going to be able to get, you know, it picked up and my house just so before they get here, you know, just, oh, you're coming in town tomorrow. Please come by the house. You have to come have dinner with our family. We want to see you, you know, and not feeling any hesitation to invite people over.
That is like so freeing.
Mm-hmm. And it's great because I love spending time, you know, I love the freedom to spend time with the people that, you know, are people that I love and bring life into my life.
Yeah. What do you think you have less of now?
Definitely clutter. And I put on my answers here stress, and I crossed that out last night when I was reviewing and wrote chaos because another mindset shift because it isn't stress, it was chaos. You know, and yeah. so now we definitely have less of that in our home.
Yeah, I think stress gets a bad rap. We got to have some stress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want your blood pressure to be too high, but you need to have some blood pressure. Like, you mm-hmm. don't want it to be too yeah. low either. Like, we got to have some of that going. What do you wish you had known sooner?
I wish that I had known that there were systems that were already established that I could just plug into my life. Mm-hmm. Because I spent a lot of time trying and stumbling and trying to figure these things out on my own. And the system that was there for me through Organize 365 just provided such a relief of that mental load of trying to figure it out. Okay, I check that off the box. It's figured out. All I have to do is follow these steps.
Yes.
And I can get to where I want to be.
What's your next step?
Well, now it's the Word Box planning day because I just signed up for that over the weekend.
You're going to love it.
I'm so excited for it. And then I plan to, in August, purchase the All Access with the kids program. And so I'm really excited to start doing the binders and the kids program.
Yeah, there's a lot in there for kids under the age of five too. Like I tell you about how to set up, I don't talk about turning the closets into storage rooms. I should.
Yeah, you could add that.
I do talk about pieces of that, but I don't officially say it's like a storage room because some people share rooms and things like that. But in your case, I think your kids, your boy,
and they share their own room. They share a room. Share?
Okay, mm-hmm. So it's just like the combined storage room. Then you might want to have different colored bins or lids mm-hmm. or labels or whatever. But yeah, there will be a lot that you'll take in there that you'll then be able to apply even for the little kids.
I'm so excited. And I think that they'll have fun, you know, like participating and watching videos and stuff with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fun. Yeah. What advice would you give to someone who's just starting out?
To follow the systems and trust that they're going to work for you. And don't try to get to where you want to be too fast. You're going to get there.
Yes.
And I think that that's part of the mindset shift from perfectionism is, you know, I've always wanted, this is where I want to be. I want to be there now. But now where I am, you know, with my mindset shift is it's a beautiful journey and I'm in a great place right now. And like, it's a lot of fun to see how it incrementally improves and, to just enjoy where I am and not stress that I'm not all the way to the end.
Yeah. So great. I always want things done yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, at home, at work, everywhere. Like I just said in a meeting this morning, they gave me an update on something. I said, you know what? I don't even want updates on this anymore. Just tell me when it's here. Like, I don't even want to hear anymore. It's going to be another 7 days, 10 days. I don't even care. Just tell me when it's here. And they're like, okay, we'll just tell you when it's here. Cause I'm like, I don't even want to hear anymore about the delays. Like I've already paid for it. I already know when we're going to do it. Like no one else knows about it yet. So it's not like it's going to be late or we're going to miss a launch or anything. So just stop telling me because I worked on yesterday. I don't even want to know anymore.
I understand that.
Lizzie, thank you so much for being a guest on the Organized 365 podcast.
Thank you, Lisa. It's been my pleasure.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organized 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.